restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We are driven by LongbineAuto.com. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood in studio with you, joined by Emporia High girls basketball coach Carolyn Dorsey, soon to be joined by Emporia High boys coach Lee Baldwin. A good start to the basketball season last night for both teams. We'll talk to them about their games last night. Of course, plenty of things to get to today. You mentioned high school basketball. Emporia State's in town to play basketball. Oh, the Turnpike Tussle is all that's on the schedule for today.
There's a lot of good stuff.
In town. And there's a bowl game down in Texas. Of course, Corsicana, Texas, the Heritage Bowl, Emporia State against Southern Nazarene that you'll hear on our airwaves later on today. Mix 104.9, 11 o'clock with the pregame noon kickoff. And I understand that we do have a little in the van with Blake and Dan.
Edition number two. And this one's gonna be fun. So let's get Blake and Dan on the air and have a little conversation, get a little ESU talk.
Well, Blake and Dan in the van here as we wrap things up for the season at the 2023 Funtown RV Heritage Bowl for the Emporia State Hornets, taking on Southern Nazarene. And Dan, our first year coming to an end, but it's been a lot of fun, and now we'll get our taste of postseason football for the first time.
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun. It feels like it just started yesterday. And, you know, mine and yours, first season covering the Emporia State Hornets, it's going to be a blast ending the season this way.
Well, and you look at the quarterback play probably in almost every single game, and when you look at these two guys, two quarterbacks that are nominated for the Harlan Hill, the Division II Heisman Trophy, and two guys that have accumulated a lot of yards this year, but boy, have they gone about it in very, very different ways.
Yeah, Gage Porter, obviously, one of the nation's top leading rusher, the nation's top leading rusher, and Braden Gleason, one of the most prolific pass throwers in Division II and all of college football. It's going to be very exciting seeing these two very different but very, very good quarterbacks going head-to-head.
How do you feel like the Emporia State defense slows down Southern Nazarene? This is a team that rushes over 6.5 yards per carry, and they hit for an average of 15.2 yards per catch. So they get some big plays when they do throw it out of the passing game, but a lot of it runs through Gage Porter, obviously. He's the GAC Offensive Player of the Year. And Emporia State has at times this year struggled to tackle in the run game and has given up some big plays in the passing game. So how do they slow down SNU?
Yeah, they do some option stuff. They do some outside zone stuff. Personally, I think if you just play disciplined football, you stay at your spot, you do your job, then you're going to be able to essentially stop Gage Porter. Also, I think the safeties are probably going to be playing a little bit more in the run fit. We'll see sort of what Coach Laporto has drawn up for this defense.
And looking offensively, you know, Braden Gleason going to try to do what he does. One last, you know, giddy up for the sheriff here as he wraps up an historic career for Emporia State. And this will be a style of offense that teams in the GAC just don't really have any way of seeing, and certainly you would think have a lot of difficulty trying to replicate what Emporia State's going to put out on the field in practice. Even with the extra weeks that they've had getting ready for the bowl game, just really hard to simulate what Emporia State does.
Yeah, the GAC is a predominantly rush-heavy conference in general, and Emporia State has an offense like almost nobody has ever seen before. Their tempo's insane. They're throwing the ball. They're doing air raid stuff. It's really exciting to watch. We'll see how SNU's defense lines up with this prolific Emporia State offense.
Funtown RV Heritage Bowl gets kicked off at noon today, 11 o'clock for our pregame coverage on the RV Doc pregame show. Comes your way on Mix 104.9. Listen online, kvoe.com/listen or via the Odyssey app. Tim and Dylan, back to you.
All right. So, yeah, Blake, Dan, Tegan, Trahoon, all down in Corsicana, Texas. Big bowl game. Be great to see the Hornets finish their season with a win.
Most definitely.
They've had a great campaign.
Continue so the great well, vibes.
Might as well finish it off well. And so, again, Mix 104.9 later on today, later on this morning, actually, 11 o'clock with the pregame show and then noon for the kickoff from Corsicana. Before we get into Coach Dorsey here, Dylan, why don't we go ahead and try to get our Main Street Athletes of the Week taken care of.
Yep. Got four nominations for Emporia High. Well, first, going to give a nod to Addie Kermer, 23 points last night for the senior, the Emporia State signee. Boys side, man, River Peters ties a career high for the third time in the last 2 years. He had 23 against Ottawa last year. He goes for 23 last night. Logan Wojak of the swim team was a part of a relay, the 200 free relay that was second. He also had a couple of top five finishes in the swim invitational on Thursday. And Alex Alaming was second in diving. You know, when a team is lacking depth and your second leading scorer from last year is back, I got to go with River Peters with how he played last night. I think that's in just a full season and one game of seeing River Peters play. To be honest, I think that's the best I've seen him play. So I'm going with River Peters from the boys basketball team as our Emporia High Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week. And then for our area, a couple of nominees. Coy Wilkinson from Hartford, 21 on Thursday night at Marmaton Valley, had 19 last night in a win over Altoona Midway, and he's a freshman. Sage Hadley from the Lebo girls team had 17 points last night in a win over Flint Hills. Grayson Shoemaker of the Lebo boys basketball team, 28 points and 7 rebounds last night as the Lebo boys ranked number 1 in 1A Division 2. And then from Madison, Jalen Weekly, 17 points for Madison last night in a win at Yates Center. I'm going to go with Coy Wilkinson from the Hartford boys basketball team, averaging 20 points in two games back-to-back nights. Coy Wilkinson, our area Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week.
All right, so there you go. River Peters from Emporia High, Coy Wilkinson for Hartford, our Main Street Athletes of the Week. And with that, we're going to turn our attentions now to Carolyn Dorsey, the girls coach at Emporia High School. Her girls get the season started off in fine fashion, 63-35. And Coach Dorsey, maybe a little bit of a shaky start, maybe some nerves there early. Your girls are down 6-2. Next thing you know, though, I think it was a 21-0 run, and you're up 17, and I wouldn't say coast, but you had control of the game from there.
Yeah, I kind of figured it would look like that. Again, we talked about it. It was going to be a battle of toughness. That first game is ugly. You know, I ran into Jesse Nelson. He said the same thing. He goes, it's you know, your defense is always farther along than your offense. And I said, well, I hope so, because I'm not sure which is farther at all for us at this point. But I obviously we missed three open layups, easy, which should have been 10-2, you know, but that was just, I think, jitters. And man, Ottawa came at you. I told the girls, I think they have some really good athletes. They have a 6'1 Washburn signee for volleyball. That's an MIAA athlete. That's pretty good. They got a point guard with nice size. They have another Nichols kid, another 6-footer. They were the aggressor right off the tip. We tried. They said they were going to go offensive. We lost it. All of a sudden they score, and it was a bit of a shell shock. And but it wasn't like the girls panicked. It was just we had to get our feet going. We had to get some nervousness worked out. You know, I think the big stipulation is everyone says 12 seniors. You know, that's great, except for only 4 played. I think we're forgetting that all 12 haven't seen the court. And so when you throw in new rotations and you have new kids in different roles and you have kids who've never stepped on a varsity court before ever, it's a learning curve still. So I think the jitters were there for sure. But, you know, after that, I thought defensively we were really good.
Yeah, you know, I, of course, you've kind of played that similar style well, forever, but it's just a fun style to watch.
Thank you.
Man, your kids really do give effort. I mean, they're flying all over the floor.
They are.
Of course, I know they have to make the pace of the game a little quicker due to the lack of size, which, boy, this year, 5'9" is about it, Coach.
Yep, that's where we lay.
So they certainly make up for it with effort and the intensity at the defensive end of the floor.
And we've said that since, I mean, again, like you said, you've watched that for how long now here. That's how I played. That's how I was coached. That's how I was going to coach. And that's how it's been. And that's been our survival tip is we're little. And replacing Snyder is hard. And it's not going to be one kid. And we're going to have to do it by causing turnovers and flying around. And, you know, our press is designed a certain way, but it's not ran right probably half the time. But because they're so bought in and they just are helter-skelter, we speed the team up and they're tired. You know, that's our thing. In the second quarter, I told the girls, this is when you win it right now. You go out and you run them into the ground. By the fourth quarter, they'll be done. And you could see Ottawa, they were hunched over. They were still kind of competing, but that's what was hurting them. It's just the tempo that we play.
Coach, do you feel like you're about to find a second scorer behind Addie Kermer, maybe an Emil Bennett or maybe even Alexi DeWitt? You know, both of those kids really had some solid contributions last year. And, of course, with Emil last night, 3-for-3, and you're telling her to shoot the three ball, and she's 3-for-3 on the season.
Yeah. You know, talking about the scoring, we had, what, 8 or 9 out of 13 kids play that scored last night, and I think that says something, too. They shared the ball well, and I thought we distributed the ball well. We made the extra pass like they're supposed to. I thought Kermer rushed her early. I thought she took some bad shots early. I pulled her because we have the ability to do that this year. There's 12 kids sitting there. I pulled her. She looked at me. She said, that was a bad shot. I said, we're on the same page. And then she went back and let the game kind of come to her. And all of a sudden, you see her go off for 23. I thought she looked less forced after that. Talking about Emil shot the heck out of it. I thought, if you saw the Spartan night, she shocked me. She's a good shooter. She really is funny to me because she's just, you yell at her, it's like water on a duck's back. It's like, okay, they're mad. Doesn't bother her. You know, and that, as a point guard, you want that. She's pretty relentless up there. So I'm not surprised. Lexi can score. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of kids, and hopefully on any given night when one of them's off, there's somebody that's on.
Speak to the fact, the way the roster is constructed, 12 seniors.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Uh-huh.
It'd be very easy for several of them to be disgruntled.
Yep.
But I think that's a credit to their makeup, isn't it? I mean, that's a tough thing to do, is to be a senior and sit there.
I will say that. It is a unique problem. You know, we've had the other side of the problem where we have freshmen. And it's hard. I mean, I know Coach Baldwin has a younger team. It's, when you don't have experience in the Centennial League, it's tough. At 5A level, it's tough. You need experience. So, again, on the flip side, I'd rather have 12 seniors than 12 freshmen is what we said. And no knock to freshmen. The point guard from Ottawa is a freshman. And you saw her miss some easy baskets. And that just comes with being young. The only year we beat T-High with Kennedy was her freshman year. So that being said, they could have easily quit. You know, there's several. They don't all get to play. They've been that way since probably seventh grade, middle school years, freshman, JV. And it does say a lot to their character. They're good kids that have bought in since they were 8. And that's what we've been trying to do with some of the little boys' teams and girls' team we're getting going. It's the same mindset. They're in it for the greater cause. Now, one game in, they're all happy still. You know, game 10, ask me how it's going. And it is hard as a senior to sit there. But it does say something about their character because it's easy to quit. A lot of kids quit. It's, well, I'm not quit. I'm not happy. I'm not getting playing time. I'm quitting. I mean, we see that all the time here. So the fact that these 12, that's what makes them special. Again, the rest of it in terms of skill and stuff, that will have to come and experience. But the fact that they've said, oh, I don't get to play, but I want to be a part of it, I think says a lot about them.
Can you talk about the return of Kyla Herkins? Hasn't played since her sophomore year, you know, coming back from an injury she suffered last year. Tegan Baker, really good minutes for you guys last night as well. And, you know, you got to give props to Addison Gutierrez for playing 10 minutes as well.
Yeah, you know, those are three kids we didn't have last year, and they help us. Addison's a good shooter. When she, you know, I wanted her to hit one last night. She's got to get the monkey off her back. I know she's nervous, and she hasn't played a full season in 2 years, I don't think. You know, she's had a terrible ankle injury, and it's been the same one. I think she's got about 8 or 9 screws in there now, so she should be fine, hopefully. But she can shoot for us. She can knock down open shots. And then Kyla's so strong. She's physical. She can bang. She's got a good nose for the ball in the full court. I was happy to see her do well. She hit her free throws, which is good. Again, coming off a knee injury is tough. And then you talk about Tegan. Tegan is bar none one of the quickest kids I have seen, and I've seen a lot of quick kids. And that kid can move. You know, she's a maybe half a step slower now, and you lose your knee a little bit, it'll hurt you. But she's still, man, if you saw her last night, most people say, man, she looks great. She does. She is one of the toughest little defenders we've had. And to watch them go in and have a good night, you know, I was really happy for those kids because, again, those are three kids that have been major contributors for this squad since they were 7 or 8. And to sit out and watch your teammates, I know that's really hard. And they've kind of picked it up. They've worked hard, and they're back in the rotation.
Maybe a strange question coming off of a 28-point victory, but did you get what you wanted to get out of the first game of the season?
It's not a strange question because I left going, no, I'm not sure that was great. I thought our baseline out of bounds was terrible. I don't think. I was like, but we did. Honestly, I was, and that's no secret, I was very disappointed and upset with them Wednesday and Thursday. We didn't practice well. They were just bad. There's no way to put it. And I was nervous as heck. Again, I know Ottawa, you look at the score and go, those kids, they'll win a lot of games this year. Mm-hmm. If we had some of that size added into this mix, we'd be pretty hard to stop. And I was satisfied, but there definitely were some things still. You know, I think the biggest takeaway was defensively, and like you guys mentioned, how much they got after it. I think, you know, we always talk about relentlessly pursue excellence and you'll be pretty darn good. And I thought we were pretty darn good last night, but there were some things we need to clean up. We've got to be better against screens. We boxed okay, but there's some times where, you know, we got to find some more ball handlers. You know, if it's not Kermer and Emil, you know, we tried some different lineups and everyone got to need a point guard out there. Well, they can't play the whole time, and if they're in foul trouble, which is going to happen, we've got to find some other kids who can handle the ball. And but yeah, I did see some things because I wasn't sure how we'd opened up. Wednesday, Thursday was not a good feeling. And for them, but what's nice about this group is they're competitors. They might, and after beating each other up for 3 weeks, 3 weeks is a long time. And you throw in some of these alpha personalities, these girls can, they're not just going to walk in and be friendly to you all the time. So when you're going against the person competing for your spot for 3 weeks, it gets ugly at times. And it did Wednesday, Thursday, but they came out Friday and put it all together. And that's what's kind of nice about this group also.
So busy week next week. Paul Terry, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Starts with Wichita Trinity on Thursday night. Be a great week of basketball, obviously. You'll get a lot of chances to get on the floor and continue to develop this squad.
I didn't know if we were a private school, Tim. I was confused. This guy, Wichita Trinity, Hayden, Emporia. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a good tournament. It'll be a good tournament. It'll be fun. Yeah. You got White Auditorium for 3 games. It's a great place. I thought we had a good crowd last night. It's been a while since I've seen that gym rocking on both games with some good support, which is cool to see. So shout out to the community on that aspect. I feel like we've rebuilt that, the girls and boys togetherness. I think fans are coming for both of them, staying and truly enjoying it, which is nice to see because it hasn't always been like that. So down at White Auditorium, you know, I think we were going to get a lot of community members out there, and it's a fun place to play. But it should be 3 good games. I think Hayden's playing pretty well. They didn't lose a lot last year. They got their big kids inside, and Trinity, I think, will come a long ways. Their coach seems to be doing a good job. And Spring Hill, man, they worry the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. We went to overtime with them last year, and their post players are pretty good.
And Trinity last night, they opened up with Garden playing 162-34, so they're coming off a lopsided win too. So should be a good one for the first game of the Paul Terry Classic.
Yeah, like I said, I'll get to watching that. I know we already got film on them, so the grind is starting.
I got one other quick thing, real quick. Did you? What's your biggest emphasis in these next 3 practices before Thursday?
It'll be continued emphasis. We're going to run. You know, yeah. I told the, like I said, I told the girls, we look, there was a couple of possessions, man. I know AJ was just almost hunched over looking at me, and we had subs at the bench. I wasn't going to burn a timeout because I didn't need to. But, you know, I said, when you're tired, so are they. You run them again, and you run them again, and they'll quit before us. I know you're gassed, and that's going to continue to be our emphasis, run them. We have to run them because we need to tire their legs for the fourth quarter, because I think that's where we'll be able to pull away from some teams eventually. And then again, I thought they took care of the ball pretty darn well last night and passed it. But that's a big emphasis for us, is that extra pass. Man, distribute the ball, quit forcing stuff. That kid sitting over there in the corner is a pretty good shooter. Mm-hmm. And I think you saw last night they knocked down a bunch of open shots, but that's because they're open. You know, it's really easy to shoot an open shot. When someone's hand in your face, of course you miss it. I mean, so that's going to be a continual emphasis. And then get up, we got to guard still. I don't know that we were great defensively. I thought we were pretty darn good, but we got to keep pushing that.
Okay. All right, Coach, congrats on the season-opening victory, and best of luck at the Polteri.
Hey, thanks, and thanks to my staff. And Brett Stewart, you've done a great job. There's your shout-out. Miller and Taylor Scott, they do a great job on my bench, so I will thank my staff.
Did your two younger programs get wins last night, too?
We didn't keep a third team this year. But we just – it was with
– Just JV?
Yeah, we just didn't – with 12 seniors, no kids are playing JV. There's just no point trying to finagle numbers and whatnot. But, yes, our JV team opened up. We got a 4 or 5 freshmen playing JV, and they got a win, which was good for them to get their feet wet at a higher level. So, excellent. Yep, I think we swept Ottawa last night, both sides. So.
All right, there you very go. Good. Well, let's take our first break. We'll come back, and we'll visit with Emporia High Boys Coach Lee Bolden right here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, the savings are on now with Red Tag Month offers on new Chevy cars, trucks, and SUVs. Come in and get Red Tag savings on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck and save over $5,400. Or how about Red Tag savings, like over $1,300 on a new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS front-wheel drive. And we've got great APR financing rates too, as low as 1.9% with approved credit on select models. And how about this? Just arrived. We have 3 brand new Chevy electric vehicles in stock. So come in, take a look, and take a test drive for yourself. And as always, don't forget, we're giving top dollar for your quality trade-in. So don't wait another day to get Red Tag savings on new Chevy models. Come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The Division I cross-country championships were held at the end of November in Charlottesville, Virginia. On the women's side, North Carolina State claimed their third straight national championship. The Wolfpack edged out second place Northern Arizona by 1 point in the closest team finish in event history. NC State is the first program to win 3 straight women's cross-country titles since Stanford achieved the feat from 2005 to 2007. On the men's side, Oklahoma State claimed their 5th title in program history. While the Cowboys lost on a tiebreaker to Northern Arizona in last year's finals, this year they beat the second-place Lumberjacks by 22 points. Oklahoma State's win denied Northern Arizona their 4th straight national championship. Florida's Parker Valby took home the women's individual title after finishing in 2nd last year. Graham Blanks from Harvard grabbed the top spot on the men's side. He's now the first Ivy League men's runner to win a cross-country championship. Number 6 with the sticks. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 biggie bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or 2 savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 biggie bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price. Kentucky team defeated Johns Hopkins to win their sixth straight national championship. The D3 Panthers finished the season with a 22-0 record. Their head coach is Catherine DiLorenzo.
Couldn't be happier for this group of workers and committed players, and also just very proud of our whole team for building what they've built and performing the way they did today.
That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you in studio. Of course, Blake Cripps on the road in Corsicana, Texas to cover the Heritage Bowl, Hornets, and Southern Nazarene. Turn our attentions now to Lee Baldwin, the Emporia High boys coach, as his squad begins their season with a 50-39 victory over Ottawa. And coach, nice win to start the season. I think Ottawa came in a preseason ranked on the top 10, and nice to get a W.
Yeah, it was a really good win for our guys, and good to be back in here with you guys to talk some hoops on Saturday morning.
Yeah, good to have you. And I said it several times towards the end of that game, just a resilient effort from a team that's lacking depth. And, you know, when you're only suiting up eight guys, you have got to be pleased with the toughness. And that's something you said to me in pregame, was you needed to be physical and be tough.
Yeah, I think the majority of the questions you guys are going to ask me, I could easily do what Coach Dorsey answered are going to be almost identical to the ones I'm going to answer with, minus the turnovers. I just told him, I said, we got to be tougher. We got to play harder. We got to care more than them. And, you know, those are the only options. So when you don't have any other options, then that's what you have to do. Luckily for our guys, and I think it was pretty evident that we played harder than them, and I thought the right team won that game.
Well, let's just break down your efforts on both ends of the floor. First off, defensively, I thought your kids gave pretty good effort at that end of the floor.
Yeah. You know, I was reading a lot of preseason articles on Ottawa, and their coach was saying they have 5 to 7 guys that could potentially score between 10 and 15 points a game. You know, and I struggled with math in college, but I started adding that up, and I'm like, well, that could be 60 to 65 points a game. So I'm telling our guys that, you know, their coach is expecting them to, you know, be in the 60s every game, and we held them to 39. And, you know, we switched a lot of screens. We changed our defensive schemes completely from last year. And we were undersized, but, you know, we made it really hard on them and pushed them 3 or 4 feet outside the three-point line and, you know, tried to do the best we could on their big guy. But overall, to, you know, keep a team at 39 points, especially one that's ranked, is a pretty good defensive effort.
Offensively, you put 50 points on the board, and watching your offense, but I thought they were pretty patient, I mean, for the most part, and worked for good shots.
We were very patient. The plan going into the game was we're going to take the air out of the ball to start the game. At our jamboree, we got in big-time foul trouble. And obviously, suiting up 8 guys, not knowing how many you're going to play, I really wanted to take the air out of the ball and make this a 3-quarter game. We were very patient. And I think that was evident with how efficient we were from the floor. We were 20 for 40, which includes going 0 for 10 from the 3-point line. So you think about that. When we got the ball around the basket, almost 70% of the time we scored. We got the shot we wanted, and we made them come out and guard us. They were getting frustrated, and I think they were more tired chasing us around in the first half, which is why you saw them go zone in the second.
And, Coach, you know, we've talked about it in the preseason. River Peters, you know, a big night for him, and a night where you really needed every 23 points out of him, and he maybe came out of the game once or twice.
I think he came out for a minute and a half, if I recall, in the third quarter. River did a really good job. He's so much better this year with moving without the ball. And that's been an adjustment because, you know, the majority of his basketball career has been, you know, he's a ball-dominant player. And he's done a really good job of learning how to screen and move without the ball. And I think that's why when he caught the ball, he was in a position to score from 3 feet or he wasn't having to dribble 3 times. When your best player's having to ISO someone or dribble several times, the whole defense can collapse on them. And that's when you can start seeing some bad shots or turnovers. He was strong with the ball going to the basket. had a phenomenal three-point play with that dunk. It's very efficient. I mean, when you're 10 for 13 from the floor, it's not a lot to complain about.
You mentioned the 0 for 10 from 3. As you've seen now in practice for several weeks, is that something that they're better at than what they showed, or is that just going to be an area where you're going to just continue to work on making shots, which I know is easier said than done?
Well, I honestly have no idea. You know, last year when I talked to our guys, I said we need to be able to make 33% of our threes, which I think at the high school level is not asking too much. And I told them we need to be able to knock down wide open threes, not ones where they're contested. Of the 10 that we shot, 9 of them were wide open. I hope we get to that 33% number because that justifies shooting a three. Am I concerned? I would say I'm concerned just for the fact of how poorly we shot it from three last year. But I also understand that we're going to have to play really, really hard. And when your legs are gone, you know, you're going to miss a lot of those threes short, which we did. So hopefully moving forward, we can make just enough to keep teams honest to where they're not clogging the paint up. And if we can just hit one or two of those a quarter, I think it'll just make us more efficient on offense.
Coach, I know we talked about Josh Rios in postgame last night, but I want to bring up two guys that I didn't mention to you. Blake Spellman plays 22 minutes last night. I really liked his defensive effort last night. And you got to like what Ryland Crowell also brought to the table.
You know, I talked a lot about this last year, and you know, like, I think it's really important for kids that come watch us play. Like watching Fred last year, who's not an overly skilled basketball player, but just played really hard and made a huge effort on our team. Blake Spellman played 22 minutes last night, started in a varsity game, and was a JV player last year. And we had him the majority of the time guarding Ottawa's best player.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several times where he had the McCullough kid leaning over aghast, and Blake played really hard, and I think that's a good example for a lot of kids that may not have the best skill set, but if you play really hard, you buy into your role, you can make an impact and help your team win. And I think that is a great example for a lot of younger kids. Ryland had to guard bigger guys last night, and you know he's going to have to do that this year. I mean, even though he's 6 foot, maybe. He's one of our stronger guys, so he's going to have to guard bigger guys throughout the year, which is a sophomore. Ideally, that's not what you want him to do, but that's something that he's just going to have to learn and get used to doing.
Your depth problem.
What depth?
Yeah. I was going to say, is the result, and certainly in large part to injuries that you're hoping to get back at some point, Cooper Reck, Nolan Jacob, Chase Harrington, those guys not playing right now. When do you expect them back? Do you know yet?
You know, you hear different stuff all the time. I try to, you know, take stuff with a grain of salt. Hopefully we can get one of them back in a couple weeks. The other two, it's just kind of a wait and see and hope you hear good news before we can get them into back and start conditioning. I think the best way to go about it moving forward is really focus on the guys we have right now, build their roles, try to focus on how they can help each other get better, and then hopefully when those guys come back, it's just icing on the cake and we can fit them into what we're already doing.
And real quickly, before we have Mitch Holtis join us, Spring Hill falls last night to Eudora, 50-42. Coach Bouchard over there in Spring Hill, you know, in year number two there, you're in year number two here. Another good test coming up on Thursday night for you guys. And then, of course, you got Hayden, who lost quite a bit from what I've been hearing. And they got a new coach he's Shawnee Heights kid, played at Shawnee Heights. And I think it's Ty Brown. Hayden coming up on Friday, first of three matchups against them. And then you get Wichita Trinity coming up on next Saturday, too. So three good games coming up.
Yep, we'll start our preparation for Spring Hill on Monday. And then, you know, obviously when you have a game Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, try to get as much information as your second opponent as possible so you don't just show up to the game on Friday and just say, all right, we're going to roll the ball out. So big week for us for sure. A lot of time watching film, and hopefully we can improve on some things that we need to clean up from last night.
Awesome.
All right, Coach, congratulations. Great start to the season, and best of luck at the Paul Terry Classic next week.
Thank you very much. And I'd also like to compliment our JV and our C team. Okay. We got a clean sweep last night. It was pretty exciting for our guys to get a win, especially to start the year, and to our booster club for providing us food last night after the game down at 627. I told our guys that that's pretty special stuff. Not a lot of schools, communities, and programs are able to go do that and celebrate that with their friends and their team. So pretty special stuff for our guys, and just thankful to our booster club and our community for their support.
All right, great start to the season for Emporia High. Tell you what, let's just go ahead and take our second break. We'll get it out of the way, and then we have Mitch the rest of the way. We'll take our final break, come back with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, the savings are on now with Red Tag Month offers on new Chevy cars, trucks, and SUVs. Come in and get Red Tag savings on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck and save over $5,400. Or how about Red Tag savings, like over $1,300 on a new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS front-wheel drive. And we've got great APR financing rates too, as low as 1.9% with approved credit on select models. And how about this? Just arrived. We have three brand new Chevy electric vehicles in stock. So come in, take a look, and take a test drive for yourself. And as always, don't forget, we're giving top dollar for your quality trade-in. So don't wait another day to get Red Tag savings on new Chevy models. Come into Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union is convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk as we bring in Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Good morning, Mitch Holtis.
Man, what a great job, Tim. You know, we'll be pleased. So,
thank you, sir.
Hey, you guys heard from Blake? He's at the ball game, right? Is he got like shorts and sunglasses and laying by the beach in Corsicana?
I'm sure he's having some really, really enjoyable R&R time. You know, it's not very busy at all. So,
I'm thinking, what's the temperature in Corsicana?
You know, I haven't looked.
Probably,
I'll check on that.
I have not looked that up.
Yeah, do that, Dylan. So. Let's look. He's probably just hanging out. He's got that Speedo, that Hornet Speedo.
Mitch, I'd rather not have that vision here this early this morning.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. It just popped into my head.
Well, Mitch, I just figured out the temperature in Corsicana, and it's 44 there, so a little bit warmer. And they're supposed to be having a high of 65 today, and by the time they get the kickoff, they'll be in the mid-50s.
He'll do the game with his shirt off.
Perfect. Perfect weather, thinking, in Corsicana.
You know, you think bowl games, you think warm weather, right? You got it. So, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, anyway, well, congrats to the Hornets being in the bowl.
Well, Mitch, Chiefs-Packers, man, a little history in that game, huh? What great history for these two teams.
And Tim, they haven't played that often. The Chiefs have only been to Lambeau 5 times in their history. That's crazy. But there's so much history in this so-called rivalry. It really started with Super Bowl I. We know that, the very first two Super Bowl combatants. So that was going to tie them basically for all of recorded football time together. But then you look at the monumental games that have happened. When the Packers won the Super Bowl in 1996 with a redheaded coach on the sideline named Andy Reid, who was coaching Brett Favre, the Chiefs were able to beat them at Arrowhead. Well, Favre goes on to win his only Super Bowl with the Packers, and the only Super Bowl he ever won that same season. Then in 2003, the Chiefs were trailing by 17 points in the fourth quarter. They get a defensive pick six from Jerome Woods, and the overtime pass to Eddie Kennison to win at no T. And the Chiefs were the first team in the history of Green Bay's franchise, which goes back to 1921, to trail by 17 in the fourth quarter and come back to win. Now, Green Bay, of course, has had their victories on this side, too. But then maybe the most improbable victory was in 2011. Chiefs have interim coach after firing Todd Haley. And they upset the Packers, who were undefeated at the time. And the Chiefs won 19-14 with Romeo Crennel as interim coach. So, yeah, there's a whole lot packed into just a few games between these two teams.
Well, how special is this game for Leo Chenal, Wisconsin guy?
Oh yeah, and a small town Wisconsin guy. He's about the size of Smith Center. So think about Northern Heights type high school or an Osage City size school. That's where he's from, and he's on the western side of the state. But still, yeah, it's big for him. Saw him earlier in the week. He got and Tim, he's crushing it. He's the one guy that's not getting talked about. He's having a really good season. And has made some big plays, not only just steady plays, but impactful plays. So, yeah, it's really exciting for him.
Mitch, we were able to see what the Chiefs did in the second half against the Raiders. After trailing 14-0 in the second quarter, did you feel like the momentum was just kind of carried towards the end of that first half, knowing that it had been a while since the Chiefs had scored in half number two?
Yeah, we'd laid that out last week, did we not? First possession of the third quarter. And for them, the Chiefs, to do what they did in the run to Super Bowl 54 and 57, and to do it again, you trail by 14, you win by 14. I mean, that's not happened very often in the history of the league. But Dylan, your point's a good one. That first drive of the third quarter, even though it's 14-14, you're like, all right, Chiefs have the ball here. What are they going to do with it? It was an awesome drive. 5 runs, 5 passes. But to me, overall, you guys, this was a greater good game, potentially. There's a lot to take from this that could lead to tomorrow night and the weeks beyond, meaning that trailing by 14, winning by 14, but this group won. 2, Rashee Rice in the game that he had in the fact, and then 3, possibly developing a triangle where you've got Rice, Pacheco, and also Kelce, of course. And now all of a sudden you get that triangle of RB, wide receiver, tight end that has become so effective down through the years, no matter the NFL team.
Mitch, it appears we have a definite strength versus weakness in this game, and the strength being the Chiefs' ability to blitz. They've done a great job of that virtually all season. The Packers don't handle the blitz very well either, so it seems to me that could be very key in this game tomorrow night.
It is. It's a good point, Tim. But the Packers are doing a better job. Now, they've had their 4 best weeks the last 4 weeks, so it sounds very similar to when the Chiefs played the Broncos or when they played the Raiders, quite honestly, last week. The Raiders had never lost at home this year. But your point's a good one. Now, Jordan Love is the most divergent win-loss quarterback in the league as far as his QBR and wins and QBR and losses. And he's, 10 over 10, 10 TDs, 10 INTs in wins, and in his losses, not 9 touchdowns, no INTs in his wins, and he's 10 over 10 in his losses. It's a matter of him reading the blitz. Now, last week I told you guys about the first possession of the third quarter being the ink blot for the Chiefs. The start to games, the first quarter of games, had been exactly that for the Packers prior to their Thursday game a week ago on Thanksgiving against Detroit. In 10 games, get this, they had a total, first quarter total, of 20 points. That's averaging 2 points a game in the first quarter. So what do? They come out blazing. They came out chucking it. And Jordan Love was very, very accurate. So I think what they're going to do to combat that, and you laid it out, Tim, is that they will try to avoid those blitz situations and use first down as a down to attack down the field with their young wide receivers. Let me give you another QBR. This is interesting. I didn't want this to pass by. I discovered this one this week. Patrick Mahomes' QBR, when he targets Rashi Rice, is 138. It's second in the NFL, quarterback to wide receiver with a minimum of 50 attempts. I had to look at that, and I looked at it upside down, right? You're like, I got to cross it. That's interesting, right? So if you can establish him as part of the triangle, you got something going on.
Mitch, you know, what's big tomorrow night? I know this will be Jordan Love's second start against the Chiefs, but what's big for the Chiefs tomorrow to get a big win at Lambeau?
Well, it's the other side of the ball. Green Bay absolutely wrecked Detroit. Rashawn Gary had 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. Now, that's a month's worth of work. I mean, he made the Thanksgiving for Jared Goff miserable. So, protection, and Tim's point about Green Bay not handling the blitz is a good one, but the Chiefs have to be careful with Green Bay's pressure packages because they'll come from different places. They just did an excellent job of pressuring Goff into mistakes. Now, they're the only team in the NFL of 32 teams that are exactly at zero with 12 takes and 12 gives, but they were taking the ball away from the Detroit Lions. So the Chiefs have to handle that. Kenny Clark is a load. The defensive end, 8-year veteran, he's playing the best football of his career. The Chiefs' offensive line and protection group, and especially if the Chiefs don't have Jerick McKinnon. Now, Coach said they're hoping he'll play, but we'll see. And if they don't have him on third down, guys, it's an issue because he's such a good protector, catcher, and a runner on third down. Let me give you another stat, too, on third down. It just made me think of it. Isaiah Pacheco. This is that triangle theory I've got here, right? Isaiah Pacheco in the AFC is fourth in the times he touches the ball and when he gets first downs. 40 times he's touched the ball and gotten first downs. Here's the three ahead of him. Keenan Allen, Travis Etienne, who else is ahead of him here? They're all prominent guys. Like, it was an amazing stat when I saw it popping off, the fact that he is fourth in the league. So it just gives you another indication. Oh, Tyreek Hill. Number one's Tyreek Hill, getting first downs when he touches it. Two's Travis Etienne. Third's Keenan Allen. Fourth's Isaiah Pacheco.
Not bad company.
Gives you an idea of, mm-hmm. Not bad company, but it gives you an idea of his impact as well.
Mitch, will the Packers have Jair Alexander back?
They will. They're going to force these guys back in there. I think we see this almost every time we play somebody. And I don't want it to sound arrogant. The Raiders, I don't think Max Crosby should have played last week. He was about 20%, but he was not going to miss that game. He wanted to screw us up and get to Mahomes and blah, blah, blah. He shouldn't have played. There's about 2 or 3 guys. I don't think Marcus Epps should have played. He got hurt during the game. Well, the Packers are doing the same thing. They've been missing like 4 guys on the back end of the defense. And they're going to force them all into the lineup. So I expect Alexander to play. Now, they've got some other injury issues, though, and most notably at running back. When you look, if they've had a two-headed monster at running back here for the last several years, and it's key for Jordan Love because it goes to your point about handling the blitz, but Aaron Jones is not going to play. That's a big deal. Remember how he destroyed the Chiefs in 2019 as a receiver. So... and the other one to watch is Jaden Reed. He's the rookie out of Michigan State, and he is a very dangerous, young, speedy receiver, kind of in the framework of a Marvin Mims Jr. of the Broncos. But if he doesn't play, that's a big loss for them tomorrow night.
Well, we're in the week 13. All the games now become critical, but the Chiefs trying to keep pace in a very, very stacked AFC. And then the Packers trying to get wins just to get in. So I would imagine we'll have a couple of hungry football teams tomorrow night.
Very hungry. I don't know if you heard the open of my broadcast last week in the Raider game, but I said it's Clark Griswold. AFC's Clark Griswold trying to get the lights untangled, yes. Right? In Christmas vacation. It's just like you look at this box, and it's just all jumbled up. Well, if the Chiefs win this game, they'll at least get one light lit now, and that is they'll go back to the one seed because they'll be 9-3. The Ravens are off this week, and the Chiefs have the tiebreaker. But this will be a hard game. You guys have both laid it out. Mm-hmm. Hard place to win any time, but the Packers thinking they're back into it, just like the Broncos thought, just like the Raiders thought. So, yeah, the Packers have a lot to play for.
Well, Mitch, have a great call tomorrow night. Of course, we'll be tuning in on Country 101.7 FM and look forward to a Chiefs win.
Appreciate you guys, and hopefully Blake will give us a report from his bowl game layup.
I'm sure he will. Yeah. Thanks, Mitch.
See you.
Okay. See you guys.
All right, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, the Chiefs at Green Bay tomorrow night, Sunday Night Football. Again, covered on Country 101.7 FM, 6 o'clock pregame, 7:20 for the kickoff. And just to go through the schedule today, of course, Emporia State in the bowl game, the Heritage Bowl taking on Southern Nazarene down in Corsicana, Texas, 11 o'clock pregame, noon kick, that game on Mix 104.9. And then, of course, we'll have Emporia State basketball, Washburn, the Turnpike Tussle. Didn't even talk about that very much with everything else going on. That game, those games will start at 1:30 with the women, of course, 1 o'clock pregame. Mm-hmm. And then the men to follow, 3 o'clock pregame, 3:30 tip-off. Those games will be right here mm-hmm. on KVOE AM. And then on Country 101.7 FM today, K-State basketball as they take on North Alabama. Noon pregame, 1 o'clock tip from Bramlage. Of course, didn't talk anything about the big game last night at Allen Fieldhouse, Kansas, over UConn, 69-65, as a pair of top five ranked teams squared off in a good one. Great game for KJ Adams. Of course, with all he's going through off the court, great to see him have a good game.
And if you haven't seen it on Kansas's social media platforms, there's a really emotional locker room video of Bill Self speaking, and it was just as emotional as when Bill Self lost his father a couple of years ago, and he coached a game at Kansas State, and KU had a big deficit and came back and won that game thanks to Ochai Agbaji that afternoon in Manhattan. But that was just emotional to watch, and and KJ's flying back to Texas to say goodbye to his mom one last time, and man, that's a big win for KU.
Yeah, heavy load for him, and again, yeah, his mother passed away a couple days ago. So that will wrap things up here for our edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next week. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LombineAuto.com.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM.